Thank you, Stephen. And I'd like to add my happy Father's Day to that, to all you fathers. I appreciate you being here. I enjoy Father's Day as for my own father and other fathers and myself as a father. In fact, this morning I was somewhat overcome with the thought of Father's Day. And I said this out loud. You might think it's a little brash when you first hear it, but this was earlier this morning, and I said to Kim, I said, I am the greatest father in this entire room. And it was just her and she and I in our bedroom this morning, but I thought maybe I could make that statement. And sometimes you dads who are here this morning, you might have somewhat the same sentiments. That's about the only claim that you can make maybe on Father's Day or feel like it is. We want to think this morning a little bit about fathers. I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to continue on our journey with the nation of Israel as we think about the things that they were experiencing and learning coming through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And of course, here in the book of Deuteronomy, where we've been for several Sundays, they are getting ready to enter into the land. And Moses has been told by God to again declare some principles, some laws, some commandments that he has for them. And so we want to look a little bit at that this morning in the context of fatherhood. And we're going to start out in chapter 6 and just read the first two verses. We're actually going to be looking at chapter 6 and a little bit of chapter 7 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. I think we have some instructions here. As we've seen in the New Testament, these things that were written in the Old Testament in a very much different period of time to a specific group of people for a specific purpose also were written for our learning. They're not necessarily directly to us. Most of this is not. But we find in the New Testament that there are applications for us today. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, we read these instructions to fathers in the period of the age of grace, the church age, from Acts 2 on until the Lord Jesus comes back for us. We read, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Here in chapter 6, in the beginning of chapter 7, we have some instructions. It's not just to fathers, though. We also have instructions here, really, it's to parents. And we find, as we read there in chapter 2, it's not just to parents, it's also to grandparents. Not only your children, but these are things that need to be important to your children's children. And so we're not only talking to fathers this morning, that we're going to zero in on fathers. We're also talking to all parents and to grandparents. In fact, we're talking to everyone. Everyone in this room that has any interest whatsoever in a child. You know, we have a number of children that come in on vans that we go out and bring them in from different neighborhoods. And unfortunately, a lot of those children don't have fathers in their homes. There are other children who come here to this local church that don't have fathers in their homes. There are many children in our communities that don't have fathers that are seeking to impact their lives. And so there is a place for all of us to impact the lives of young people. Again, you may be one here who has, you might say, well, my children are all grown, and I don't have any grandchildren. But I'd like to encourage you as well. You can still influence and impact your children. Not the same, obviously, as when they were young and under your roof and under your direct authority, but you can still have an influence, still have an impact. And I believe the things we'll look at this morning will be of relevance to each one of us. I'm going to suggest that in chapter 6 and the early part of chapter 7, we have five clear responsibilities given that fathers have for their children. Again, we could say that parents have for their children. And this is in the sight of God. Now, there are other responsibilities. We find them other places in Scripture. But we want to look at these particular ones this morning. Now, I want to say at the outset of our time, the goal this morning is not to discourage. The goal is not to beat us down as dads if we're convicted this morning. I hope we are convicted. I would say there are things that all of us could be challenged in, exhorted in, that we'll look at this morning. But the goal is not for us to end up laid out on the floor declaring what miserable fathers we have been. Rather, the goal is to convict us where we are, and from the point where we are right now, no matter what the past holds, to move forward from this point to seek to be better fathers. Or maybe we won't make the claim, I'm the greatest father beyond this room, but that in our hearts we'll know we are seeking to do what the Lord would have us to do. So let's look at these responsibilities. We'll obviously have to go over them quite briefly. You hope I'm quite brief, but we'll try to get each one quite briefly. The first one we find in the first six verses of chapter 6, and that's that fathers are to prepare themselves for their children. I think that this is the most important of the five for us this morning. So if you're going to go to sleep, hold off at least till we get through the first point so you can take that home with you. We're going to pick up in verse 3. We've already read the first two verses. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That's the promised land where they were going. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Fathers are to prepare themselves for their children. We're aware of the importance of preparation, really in everything in life. Abraham Lincoln said, if I had 8 hours to chop down a tree, I would spend the first six sharpening my axe. Preparation. To go against the tree with a sharp axe. There's a lot of wisdom in that. And of course, as being prepared is important for everything else in life, it obviously is important in being a father. An incomprehensibly important job. I want to remind us dads of that. Not that we don't know it already, but what an important, essential job. Some of us might say, well, you know, is there any true preparation for fatherhood? I mean, you go in there and you see that little baby there, Trevor, what, 2.5 months? Oh, he's like, man, how can I be prepared for this? You know, the Lord says we can be prepared. And He tells us here, even in these verses, that if we desire to be effective in parenting our children, we must first have our own hearts and our own lives in order. That's the most important part. The other things we're going to say this morning are really not going to happen unless this first one is true. Unless we first prepared our own lives. In 2 Timothy 2:21, we read, If a man will purge himself from these, there Paul has listed some things that get in the way. One of those things, directly in the context, is that of materialism. And he says, if we will get rid of these things, put them out of our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, then that person will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. If we will put those things away, the only way we're going to put those things away is to replace those things. Whatever it is getting in the way of me being the father that I should be. I need to put those things away. I've got to replace it with something. I've got to replace it, first of all, in verse 1, with the Word of God. I need to know the Word of God. Moses says, God has told me these commandments. He has given me these statutes. He's passed on to me these judgments, and the Lord is commanding me to teach you these things, not only for you, but that you can pass them on. But it's got to start with you. Those who oversee the local assembly are told in the New Testament that, first of all, the leaders of the local assembly have to watch out for themselves before they watch out for the flock. And we need to be ready, men. We need to be ready, dads. We need to know the Word of God. You do your job. Some of you are retired. You did your job. How did you know what to do? Did you walk in the first day and know what to do? Unlikely. Maybe you had some preparation. Maybe you went to college to help prepare you for the job. But more than likely, as you came to the job, you began to learn what it meant to do that job. And you learned this and you learned that, and you took that knowledge in. And that's the same way with the Word of God. We've got to start from where we are, but we've got to do it. We've got to be in the Word of God to know the Word of God. We've been challenged this year in this local assembly to spend more time at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to His voice and His Word. And I want to encourage you, we're almost halfway through the year. How has that challenge impacted your life? Hopefully it wasn't like often New Year's resolutions are. In January, we're going strong, but as the spring turns into the summer, we fade away. If so, we need to be encouraged and challenged to be into the Word of God that we might know the Word of God. Verse 2 tells us we need to be reverencing the Lord. The King James says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That we might have that proper attitude about God. You know, if we know the Word of God and we truly are in the Word of God, guess who we're going to learn about? We're going to learn about God. We're going to learn what He's like. Yes, we're going to see Him in His love and His mercy and His grace. We're also going to see Him in His holiness and His righteousness. And we're going to learn God, and we're going to begin to respect God more greatly than we have before. We need to do that to be prepared for our children. Verse 5 tells us that we need to commit ourselves to truly loving the Lord. We can tell God we love Him. We can tell other people that we love Him. But do we really love Him? We're to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. In other words, we're to love God with everything. Do we love Him like that? If we're truly going to be effective as dads, we're going to have to commit to truly loving the Lord our God. And there in verse 6, we see that not only are we going to need the Word of God in our heads, not only are we going to need to have the right attitude toward God and to love God, but we're going to have the Word of God in our hearts. He says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart." Guys, we know the difference, don't we? Between the Word of God being, first of all, here. Here's one place, the Word of God. It's in my Bible. We got to get the Word of God from the Bible into our heads. We got to have the knowledge, but I think we understand that there's a difference between having it in our heads and having it in our hearts. A true commitment to the Word of God, a love for the Word of God, a holding of the Word of God, a seeking to live out the truth of the Word of God. Dads, we've got to prepare ourselves for our children. No matter if our children are 2.5 months old or whether our children are 65 years old or somewhere in between or beyond those two extremes, we need to continue preparing ourselves, never saying, "I've arrived." First of all, fathers are to prepare themselves for their children. Secondly, in verses 7 through 9 of chapter 6, we find that fathers are to provide teaching for their children. This is really the focus of the whole passage, what it seems Moses had in mind by the Spirit of God as he taught these things. Pick up there in verse 7. He's just told us that the Word of God, we're to know it and we're to have it in our hearts. In verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We know that learning is important. We have a lot about that in our culture, in our school systems. We're challenged that our young people need to be learning. And we know that's true. We know there needs to be intellectual growth. We know that these young people, even at a young age, and definitely when they get older, they're going to have to make decisions. They're going to have to make choices. They need information. They need to take advantage of the great privilege and opportunity that living in the United States of America provides for learning. But of course, when God tells us to teach our children, He doesn't focus on those things as important as they are, and He wants us to teach our children the things they need to know for life. But of course, again, the bottom line is teaching our children the Word of God. That's the priority. Dads, I'll ask each of us, is that our priority in teaching our children? When we think of passing things on, is it the Word of God that's at the top of the list? As we already said, the things that have been written in Scripture are written for our learning. They're written for our children's learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We might have a future. In Proverbs 24, verse 5, we read that the man of knowledge increases strength. There's a benefit for learning, and of course, the greatest benefit is that in learning the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It seems from the context of what Paul wrote to Timothy that his dad wasn't involved in teaching him. It was his mother, it was grandmother. And how we thank the Lord for godly moms and grandmothers who often have to step up because the dads are not taking that responsibility. But dads, we're where we are right now. Wherever you are, wherever I am, right from where we are, we need to stop and say we're to provide teaching for our children. And the primary teaching for our children needs to be the Word of God, because that's where they're going to find out about the Lord Jesus. That's where they're going to get that knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Well, how do we teach our children? Well, we take the Word of God and we seek to teach them with diligence, verse 7. Thou shalt teach those words diligently unto your children. The thought there of diligence is the thought of clarity and forcefulness, of being sensitive to what our children need. You know, our children aren't always thinking like we think we're thinking. Let me read you what one parent wrote. When my son was 5 years old, I showed him around my grandfather's farm, pointing out the hard work and skills it once took to farm the land. As we entered the cow barn, I gazed up at the long homemade ladder to the loft and explained that that was where my grandfather had kept the hay to feed the cows. I was delighted at the impression this seemed to make until my son remarked, "I bet it was hard for those cows to climb that ladder." You see, sometimes we tell our children something, but we're not being clear. We're telling it through our own thinking rather than stopping to ponder, where is my child at in his or her development, that I might be sure that I am communicating properly what I am intending for them to know, for them to learn. We need to teach our children diligently. We need to stay at it. We need to make it a priority. We need to teach them, we find in verse 7, consistently. Interesting how he brings out these different points, these different activities of life, when we should be talking with our children about the Word of God and the things of God. Why, when we're sitting in the house, when we're walking down the road, or driving, as the case may be for many of us, when we're lying down at bedtime, when we're getting up in the morning. In other words, it's not just okay one time a day. Pick a time and talk to your children about the Word of God and the things of God, and then you've done your duty, get on with life. Now, he says all throughout the day. In other words, whenever you're with your children, whenever God blesses you with that opportunity to be with your children, take advantage of that. Not to necessarily preach a sermon to them, Or they'll go to sleep just like you're going to sleep. No, you can share it just in everyday conversation, the most effective way to do it. Finding out where they are, sharing with them. And then verse 9, I think, is a good point. We need to teach our children visually. Many of us are visual learners, and children particularly when they're young. And he says here that we should take the Word of God, and he says, put it on your doorpost, put it on your gates. In other words, put it where people can see it, where your children will see the Word of God, and we can teach them visually, maybe through books. Maybe through things that are hung on the wall. Maybe through things for their computer, a screensaver that has a scripture verse on it. Different ways where we can come up with to try to get the Word of God into them. Maybe a devotional book for their own age, whether they're a young child or an adult, sharing something with them that would be beneficial, that they can visually learn. And not only visually through seeing it and reading it, but seeing you do it. And we'll get to that in a few moments. Teaching. A teaching is best done when it includes time. You know, Wes Izzard, who was a Texas journalist, he said, if you are going to train children at home, it is necessary for both parents and children to spend some time there. And these days, that's getting difficult, isn't it? To find the time when we're there and they're there and we can actually do that. Again, we have to be careful. We have to be sensitive. We have to try to make those times, but then we also have to be aware that maybe it is in the car. Maybe it is at the ball game. Maybe it is at bedtime, right before they go to sleep. Whatever time we can find, we've got to be ready. We've got to take advantage. We've got to buy up every opportunity. This variety of times that he gives us right here, that cost time. It costs time. And not only is teaching done best when it includes time, but you know, I think this shows us that it's done best when it includes transparency. You know, if my kids see me when I get up, if they see me when I go to bed, if they see me when I'm sitting in the house, if they see me when I'm walking down the road, and again, they can't be with me all the time, but that means they should be with me as much as I can have them with me. They're going to see me in a lot of different circumstances, aren't they? That's the best way to teach them. Let them see your life. And that brings us to the third thing that fathers are to do, the third responsibility in verses 10 to 19. Fathers are to present a testimony before their children. Fathers are to present a testimony before their children. Let's just read some of these verses. Verse 10, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things." Let's skip down to verse 12. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord." Verse 13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods." Verse 16, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God." Verse 18, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord." Just pulling out a few things out of those scriptures. As Moses, by the Spirit of God, tells the Israelites, as they're ready to go into the promised land, he's saying, when you get in the land, not only do you teach your children about it, you do it. You live before them. You give them evidence. And we all know the importance of evidence. We know you go into a court of law. And you might ask yourself, do I really expect to win this case if I don't have good evidence on my side? Probably not. Am I really going to convince that jury if I don't have good evidence on my side? Probably not. People are looking for evidence. You may have heard the story about the young American engineer. He was sent to Ireland to work in a new electronics plant. It was a 2-year assignment that he accepted because it was going to enable him to earn enough money to marry his longtime girlfriend. And she had a job near her home in Tennessee, and their plan was to pool their resources and put a down payment on a house when he returned from Ireland after 2 years. They stayed in touch. This was in the days of letter writing. No email then. But as the lonely weeks went by, the girl back in Texas started expressing some doubts that maybe her boyfriend was not being true to her. You know, being exposed to all these Irish lasses as he was. Well, the young engineer wrote back and he declared with some passion in his letter that he was paying absolutely no attention to the local girls. He said, "I do admit that sometimes I'm tempted, but I fight it. I'm keeping myself for you." Well, the next time he got something from his girlfriend, it was a package. And it contained a note from his girlfriend and a harmonica. It says, "I'm sending this to you so you can learn to play it and have something to take your mind off those girls." The engineer wrote back in his next letter, "Thanks for the harmonica. I'm practicing it on it every night and thinking of you." Well, at the end of the 2 years, the engineer was transferred back to his company headquarters, and you know, he took the first plane to Tennessee to be reunited with his girl. Her whole family was there, and he rushed to embrace her, but right when she got near him, she held up her hand and said, "Hold on just a minute there, Billy Bob. Before any serious kissing and hugging to get started here, let me hear you play that harmonica." Wanted some evidence. It's one thing to say it. "Oh, I'm practicing, I'm keeping myself for you." Let's see the evidence. And you know, when we raise children, how important evidence is. They need to see it in action. They need examples. You've heard the little saying, "What you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say." A number of years ago at senior teen camp, a co-worker, Brother John Jimmo, Steve Whitter, was the speaker, and he used something that week that I never forgot. When you hear it, you'll say, "How'd you remember it?" But he went over it a lot of times. But it goes like this: your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Think about that. Pretty much the same truth. You know, what you say, it has an impact. But how you live has a greater impact. And dads, that's so true for us. Do we really expect to convince our children without good evidence from our own lives on our side? Paul could write to the Thessalonian believers. He wasn't there but a very short period of time. Some people believe he was only there 3 weeks. From the scripture, we know he was there at least 3 weeks and he was run out of town. But he could write back to them and he could say, "You know what? Our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." He says, "You watched our lives. You saw how we lived when we got up. You saw how we lived when we walked down the road. You saw how we lived when we went to bed. You saw how we lived when we sat inside the house. You watched. You saw. You know." The evidence is there. Look at a few practical points here before we move on to the next one. Verse 12, we read, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord." Beware lest thou forget the Lord. When my children look at me, would they say, "My dad forgot the Lord"? My dad remembers the Lord when we do devotions, but then he forgets the Lord in the way he lives his life. I trust that would not be true of any of us, but where we are right now, that's the point, isn't it? To be convicted. Are there those areas in my life? Is it when I get up? Is it when I go to bed? Is it when I'm sitting in the house? Is it when I'm walking, driving down the road in the car? What are my children seeing? Am I forgetting the Lord? I'll give you a little encouragement right here. Remembering the Lord, that might bring to your mind, the Lord Jesus said, "Do this to remember me. Take the bread and take the cup. And every time you do it to remember me." We do that corporately here every Sunday morning at 9:30. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, we would encourage you to come and remember the Lord. It'll have an impact on your whole week. It'll impact your children as well. Verse 16, another practical point. Don't push it. "You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah." We studied that earlier in our study with the children of Israel. When one of the many times they complained against the Lord, one of the things they said is this: "Is the Lord among us or not?" Is the Lord among us or not? What do my kids see about me when I get in a difficult situation? When money's tight? When people at work are breathing down my neck? When neighbors are encroaching on my yard? When the government is doing something that I don't like? What do they see in me? Do they see me trusting the Lord? Or do they see me acting like my attitude is the Lord among us or not? Be diligent, verse 17. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord, persistently and sacrificially obeying the word of God. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. Seeking to please the Lord. Do my children see me? Do they have evidence before their eyes in the lives of their dad? Do your children in the lives of their father have that evidence of what it means to please the Lord, what it means to diligently obey the Lord, what it means to trust the Lord, what it means to remember the Lord? From where we are right now, might we be challenged to present a testimony, evidence before our children? Fourthly, fathers are to provide explanations to their children. We know it's important to explain why. A little boy once came to his dad and said, "Dad, why does the wind blow?" The father responded, "I don't know, son." "Dad, where do the clouds come from?" "I'm not sure, son." "Oh, Dad, what makes a rainbow?" "No idea, son." "Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions?" "Not at all, son. How else are you going to learn?" They do learn by asking questions, but only if we have an answer, right? Only if we have an explanation. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we're to be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks us the reason for the hope that's in us. Who better to be ready to give an answer to than our own children? Our own children. Look here in chapter 6 and verse 20. "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son." So he's saying, you know, there's going to come the time, dads, when your son, your daughter, they're going to say, "Why do we do this? Why does our family do this? Why do we go there? Why do we not go this other place? Why do we do certain things that the other kids don't do? Why can't we do certain things that other kids do? Why?" "Because I'm your dad and I said so." Or, "I have no idea." We need to be ready to give explanations. You know, these questions, of course, provide an opportunity for discussion. The Lord wanted those Jewish men and Jewish women to have an answer. And He gave them the answer, and it was in His Word, and that's where we get the answers, isn't it? They're not all obvious. Our kids can ask some tough questions. We have to be digging. We might have to say, "Son, daughter, I'll get back with you on that. That's a good question, and it's making me think, and I want to make sure I give you a clear answer. I'll get back." And then we need to go, and we need to study, and we need to learn, and we need to come back. What an opportunity to help our children develop convictions. You know, convictions that last are those things that they believe because they know why they believe them. Not just because Dad told me that. Not just because my parents do this. We've always done it. That will last a while, but eventually those questions are going to rise to the surface and they're going to say, "Why?" And if we don't have a good answer why, it's going to be a lot easier for them to drift away from the truth of God's Word. If we're going to explain, we've got to respect the question. We say sometimes when we're teaching, there's no dumb question. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. We need to be like that with our children. When they ask a question, we need not to make them feel like that's a stupid question. You know, Dad, sometimes we do that because we don't know the answer. It gets us defensive. No, we need to respect their questions and appreciate the fact that they're thinking. And then, of course, it requires knowing the answer. That means studying. That means reading. That means asking. That means investigating. That means investing time. Maybe I'd rather be watching the ball game. Or maybe I need to get back to my son on a question that he asked. Finally, and it's time to close, but the first six verses of chapter 7, we see in the same context that fathers are to protect their children. Protect their children. We know about dangerous environments. It's getting more and more like that, even in our own culture. And we think about safety, particularly for those who are vulnerable because they lack experience and maturity. And it angers us when we see a story of a parent who didn't protect his or her child from some harmful predator. We put our children in car seats. We get internet filters and blocks for our computers. We have our children vaccinated. When they get old enough, we give them a cell phone so they can call us if there's any problem. But there are certain things that God says, I don't want you to slip up on these areas either. You know, the one area that he really addresses here, and let's just notice in verse 3, we'll put the draw it out very quickly. He's talking about the nations in the promised land. God's going to drive them out, but there's still going to be influences there. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy wife, for they will turn away thy sons from following me. We've got to protect our children. Protect them from unwise choices as best we can. We need to teach them, again, explain why we don't want them to do certain things. Moses was to pass on to the fathers and the mothers, particularly the fathers, I think, in this area. Protect your children. Guard them in their relationships, particularly of the opposite sex. Because it's very easy for our children, even young, and then as they get older and get married, to get led away from the things of God by a spouse who does not share their concern for the truth of the Scripture. Protect our children. Teach them early. You know, the sad thing is that often when our children are young, something they do is, oh, that's so cute. It's not so cute when they're 16. If we teach them it's cute when they're 6, they may remember that more than what we told them in between. Teaching them at a young age, being careful not to overexpose them to the world. He goes on to say, watch out for those nations around you and the influence they can have on your children. We must be careful in our culture. You know, the early American Indians had a unique practice of training their young braves. And on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after he had learned hunting and scouting and fishing skills, he was put to one final test, taken out into the midst of a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until that point, he had never been away from the security of his family and his tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded, taken several miles away. And when he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods, and very naturally he would be afraid, maybe terrified. Every time he heard a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. And after what seemed like an eternity, finally dawn broke and the sun began to come up, and the first rays of the sunlight began to come into the interior of the forest. And looking around, the young Native American boy would see the flowers and the trees and the outline of the path down which he had come blindfolded. And then, to his utter astonishment, he sees the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. Was his father. Been there all night, protecting his son, letting him begin to move out, giving him some rope, letting him make some decisions on his own, experiencing what it was to be like, but still protecting. Still guarding. And dads and moms, we need to protect our children. We need to prepare ourselves for them. We need to provide teaching for them and present a testimony before them. We need to provide explanations for them. I know we've hit these things very quickly, but I hope that through it all, the Spirit of God will take out something to challenge your heart with. Again, the purpose is not to beat us down, but rather to exhort us from where we are, to take God's forgiveness for our past failures, to claim His grace, And then to move forward, believing that in His strength, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we have the ability to be obedient to God and to follow these responsibilities. We have the capability through Christ. If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't have that relationship with God, you can have that today. We'd love to talk with you about that, how you can know you're saved, born again, having that relationship and that ability to be the kind of dad that your child needs, whether that child is 2.5 months old, 12 years old, 24, 33, an adult, doesn't matter. God wants to use you in the lives of those children, those grandchildren. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time and your word this morning. Thank you for all the fathers that are here. Lord, I thank you for every one of them and the influences that they've had on their children. Thank you for my father, and thank you that he can be here and the way that he has impacted my life. Father, I pray for each one of us who are fathers. Lord, we have a great responsibility. Father, we confess that in our own strength we are not up to the task. But Father, through the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, we are able to do these things that you call us to. Help us to encourage one another. Father, I pray for every mother here that she would encourage the father of her children to seek to have an impact in their lives. I pray for every grandparent. I pray for every person here. Lord, we can all have an impact on the lives of young people. There's so many around us. They are needing us. Father, help us to care. Help us to prepare ourselves. Help us to be in your word. Help us to be living lives that honor you. Help us to be digging for answers to the tough questions that they ask about life and about you and about your word and about eternity. Father, we pray that we would have wisdom in protecting them, to know how much guarding we should put around their lives. Father, just give us wisdom. We love you and thank you for being the perfect example of a father. Thank you for how you father us. And we love you and pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you.